So what do you want to be when you grow up? Fireman, policeman, astronaut, ballerina, singer, basketball player, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. In our lives, we've been asked that question, and we've asked that question. What do you want to be when you grow up? And if it wasn't enough that we've got to worry about that, we also have to worry about, as the gospel says today, what our parents want us to be when we grow up, right? That's what happened to the mother of James and John there. They go up, she goes up to Jesus and she says, well, I want my boys to have the corner office right next to yours so they can hang around the water cooler and chill together with you. What do you want to be when you grow up? The one thing that's in common with all of those dreams that we have or our parents have for us is that they involve success or achievement or accomplishment, right? Nobody says, when I grow up, I want to be in middle management. When I grow up, I want to have a lower salary than the guy next to me. When I grow up, I want to say every day, do you want fries with that? We have our dreams of growing up about how we are going to do well, how we're going to succeed. And that's what makes Jesus' response today to Mrs. Zebedee so startling. When she has this dream for her boys, what they're going to be like when they grow up, and Jesus says to them, well, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you go through the suffering that I'm going to go through? Can you put up with the rejection that I am going to experience? And James and John said, oh, sure, no problem. But as we know, as the gospel unfolds, it was a problem. And when they reached that point, James and John and all the rest abandoned and deserted Jesus. And so Jesus had to make this job offer to them. And he had to say, well, here's the benefits package. If you want to understand what it means to follow me instead of success, you're going to have struggle. Instead of achievement, you're going to have difficulty. Instead of accomplishment, you're going to have rejection. But it's a great benefits package, Jesus says, because you will have the success not of getting a big raise, but of giving yourself in service. You will have the accomplishment not of being number one, but of being someone who lives for others. As you can imagine, when Jesus offered that benefit package, there wasn't a line going around the block trying to sign up. But our patron today, St. James, was one of the ones who did. He filled out the forms. He went through the job interview, he took the background checks, and he did the health exam, and so he was signed up as the apostle. And so we are so grateful that we have him as our model, our hero, St. James. But I think we have to be very careful, church. We have to be very careful, church, that we don't imagine that St. James is someone that we say, oh, good job. Because St. James did not do what he did for our admiration. St. James was an apostle for our imitation. You know, every day, every Sunday when we're in church, we say our creed. And in our creed, we say that we are a one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And saying we're an apostolic church does not mean that we just admire Peter and Andrew and Mary Magdalene and all of those apostles from back in the day. No, when we say we're an apostolic church, we mean that we are apostles. In quite the same way that St. James was. We are called to bring good news into our hurting world. We are called to make sure that everyone knows of how wonderful it is to have God in your life. And when we hear that, I suspect that many of us say, well, are you sure you're looking at my resume? You know, because if you look at my resume, you're not going to find much in there that looks like the role of an apostle. You're not going to find that I'm educated the way an apostle should be educated, or that I am having the proper formation that an apostle should have. You see, we look at our qualifications and we say, well, I don't know if I could be an apostle because I'm not holy enough. I don't know if I could be an apostle because I don't know enough. I don't think I could be an apostle because some things about this whole God business, you know, I got questions about. So maybe this apostle thing is not meant for me. You better find somebody else. We kind of get the impression that the St. Paul had that same reaction when he got the first call from God. He didn't know if he was able to be an apostle as well. And he comes to accept his role as an apostle by realizing it's not about him, but it's about what God can do with him. Did you hear it in the epistle? We have this treasure of faith. In earthen vessels, in all of our fragileness and all of our weakness, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels to show that it's not what I am doing, but what the power of God can do with me. Well, let's say we buy it. Let's say, okay, all right, you convinced me I'm supposed to be an apostle. How do I do that? How do I live as an apostle? How am I supposed to bring the good news of Jesus into my home, my family, my neighborhood, my school, my workplace? What does it look like to be an apostle? I think it's actually pretty easy. I think all we have to do in order to be an apostle is to let our lives show what God can do with the likes of us. That's all we have to do. All we have to do is to be truly who we are. The children of God, made in God's image and likeness, filled with God's grace. All we have to do is to be real. You know what it means to be real, right? Once upon a time, there were two toys in the toy chest, the wise old skin horse and the new toy, the Velveteen Rabbit. And the Velveteen Rabbit went to the wise old skin horse and said, "What does it mean to be real? Does it mean having gears inside of you and a wind-up key in the back?" And the skin horse answered, "Real isn't how you're made. Real is something that you become. You become real when someone loves you and really loves you, not just to play with you, but really loves you. Then you become real." Does it hurt said the Velveteen Rabbit.
Sometimes it does, said the Skin Horse, for he was always truthful.
Does it happen all at once or gradually? And the Skin Horse answered, it doesn't happen all at once. You become real over time. And that's why it usually doesn't happen to those who have sharp edges or are very fragile or are not easily kept. By the time you become real, your fur has been rubbed off, your eye has fallen out, your joints have become shabby. But you can't be ugly once you're real, except to those who don't understand. Church, Jesus has loved us into being real. And all we have to do to fulfill our vocation as apostles is to bring our shabby selves to others and let them see what God has done in our lives. That's what St. James did. That's what we're called to do. And that is what is going to change the world. Amen, church.